Let's do a podcast. Let's do a
podcast.
Let's do a podcast about Charlotte. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a
podcast.
Let's do a podcast about Charlotte. Let's.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Charlotte Podcast. This is John.
And this is Miller, and this is episode 091. I would say it's a certain Panthers number player, but I can't really think of anyone who's number 91. But today is our Panthers preview podcast. This is the definitive Panthers podcast preview edition in all of podcast land by the Charlotte Podcast.
Look no further for your Panthers prediction needs.
It is, after last year, we heard it. People want us to come back. We were so
accurate. People want, we won our listeners so much money with our picks.
They literally went the opposite of what we said. So before we get to that and a special guest, some news. We've alluded to the fact that we've adopted a street, but let's actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Tell me the process. This was your baby.
Yeah. So through the city, you can adopt a stretch of road. My original idea was to look on the rail trail. I love the rail trail.
Big rail trail fan.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's often traveled. I've seen it grow up before my eyes, living in South End and having it just be like a scary place to run next to where the skateboarders would skateboard on the pads that used to hold abandoned, or that were supporting abandoned buildings.
Okay, let's get to it.
Anyway. Anyway, but enough about abandoned buildings. Anyway, I looked into it, and we adopted a street in Uptown. Parts of North Davidson Street, not quite Noda, we're still in Uptown. And then right next to Discovery Place is where one of our signs are on 6th Street and Tryon.
And also beside the Spec.
And right next to the Spec. So Brevard and, I guess, 5th Street right there.
I don't know how you got it, but we got the prime real estate.
We got some pretty good real estate. And now we got backup. You and I actually have a note to like talk to you later about when we're going to clean up this thing. I have kept an eye on our baby, and it's looking pretty clean so far.
Yeah, and if any users happen to walk it, or listeners, just take a picture, pick up a piece of trash. We love seeing it. Tag us.
Yeah, exactly.
speaking of which, one thing we've mentioned, we do have the email address, which is, John, do you know it?
No.
It's thecharlottepodcast @gmail.com. thecharlottepodcast@gmail.com. We are always open for ideas, things to cover, questions. Send it to us. We generally respond. Yeah. We'll do a segment. It's one of our things we enjoy.
It's a little joy. Yeah.
We're trying to do more stuff that is listener generated. And one thing we've heard is people want a little bit more getting into the local election season.
Yeah.
So we had Larkin on last week.
We did. Yeah, that was great.
And we have plans to do more.
Yes.
I don't know how much we want to reveal.
Not
because
much.
We have to ask the people to come on, but we do want to, after the primaries, we'll probably hop in, and that is part of our civic duty of being a podcast. I guess we have to say, please vote, people.
Yeah. Plus, selfishly, we can just like pepper candidates with questions.
Yeah.
Find out where they stand on grandmama statues, all that important stuff.
I need to know if Kenny is the Jet Smith is actually related to Jet Smith.
Exactly. That's literally the only way to know is to ask him.
You know, I don't think he's ever heard that comparison before. So tell me what's on today's podcast. We said it's the Panthers preview pod.
Yes. So there is nobody better than our buddy Clay, a.k.a. Sports Despair, who we've had on before to have spirited discussions of Ric Flair and the like. But now he's agreed to come back and talk a little Panthers with us.
And then we have some history.
Yes. Talking history. One of my favorite things. So I'll get into like why this is relevant. But there used to be a prominent restaurant in Uptown called the Oriental, which that might not seem to have any connection to why that would be on our Panthers preview podcast, Triple P, but you'll find out later. And then supportive words from supportive guy.
Yes. So, go ahead. We have Clay, alleged Charlotte native. He has claimed he is a Charlotte native, but there is no proof. He has not offered any. For some reason, he will not tweet a picture of his social security number to me. I don't understand. Clay, welcome back.
Greetings, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Could not be better. So we do want to, before we get into some business, we want to give you kind of what's your backstory, why are you an expert on the Panthers?
Yes.
We'll give you that first.
Well, first off, I would like to say that I'm not an expert on anything. So temper your expectations.
Modesty box checked.
So a legitimate Charlotte native. I was born in the Presbyterian Hospital downtown Charlotte.
Okay. So he says.
I'm literally going to have to send you a picture, aren't I? I did the Blue Goose cast with Colin Hoggard and Danny Guy, where we attempt to give people smart Panthers talk as opposed to silly fan stuff where we're like, Cam's the best. We'll actually criticize players, even if we do like them.
So why the hell did you come on this podcast?
Because you gentlemen were nice enough to invite me. And last year, I remember listening to it and going, oh, God, why didn't they have somebody who knew what they were talking about?
We did. It was us.
So, and then I thought, why didn't they have somebody who knew what they were talking about?
So once again, that's the Blue Goose cast, correct?
Correct.
So that's an odd name. Why Blue Goose?
So a couple years ago, Mr. David Gettleman, who was the GM of the Panthers, he said something along the lines of, you know, if I see a Blue Goose pass rusher or a Blue Goose wide receiver on the board, I'm not going to be scared. And he said, do you want a dollar or do you want three dimes? So along those lines, the Blue Goose cast is the name, and we consider ourselves to be the three dimes attempting to give you a dollar's worth of Panthers talk.
I love that. So the name alone is indicative of the type of insight and analysis and subtlety that you could expect from the Blue Goose cast.
I actually have to confess that when Danny and Colin recommended that name, I didn't get the reference. So
you're a convert now.
I will live in shame.
Well, I do endorse the Blue Goose cast. I think you do. You guys do an awesome job and get in the weeds, certainly more than Miller and I do. You do a great job.
We are also trying to watch the soccer game, the U.S. soccer game, and Honduras just scored. So Clay's mind is off the rails. One thing you are with this soccer game, it's probably a perfect example, is your Twitter handle is at Sports Despair.
Yes.
And we've talked about that. And I want to talk to you about your Twitter. When you came in, we spent about 15 minutes together, and I purposely did not engage in any small talk because I need to vent.
John Hill.
I asked John for this. So you are a chronic tweeter, sir. Nothing good about that, nothing bad about that.
Just make an observation.
But I need you to have some more structure. Currently, you're in the mute zone. You and a few other people who I cherish, I just need you to know you're in the mute zone because my TL, a.k.a. my timeline, is full of just random stuff you throw out there. And I don't know what the hell you're watching. You're watching, like, random cricket games and tweeting stuff. So I came up with some suggestions, some constructive
criticism. Yeah, because we're all about constructive criticism.
That's what we're here.
I would like to defend myself and say that I never watched cricket.
Okay, that's your lone defense. One, when you're watching a game, build a thread so I can just follow where your mind's going. So say, hey, I'm watching the U.S. men's national team. Here are my thoughts. And I can follow, like, oh, this is the game he's watching.
This is skill pop level advice, by the way.
What if I'm watching multiple games at one time?
Just then start a college football thread and then tag what game you're referring to.
Am I really muted?
Yeah, you are muted on my Twitter. I'll show you.
That is possibly the best news I've ever gotten.
But you float in and out. Like, sometimes you'll send me something funny and I'll unmute you and you last about 5 days. So my second thing, and I'm calling this the Nada rule, because I think he started this and I have beef with it. The quote tweet discussions are the most annoying thing in sports Twitter.
Nada is a noted quote tweeter.
Yeah. So are you in the mentions, not on my timeline? So the idea is, like, someone will say something, then the other person will quote tweet them, then they quote tweet, and it just becomes this whole thing. I don't need to see it.
Well, here's how it works. Sometimes I'll have something where I'm just having a discussion with somebody, and I'll, you know, respond to them. Sometimes I feel whatever I have to say is very clever and should be shared with the entire world. Hence the quote. However, Miller's getting ready to go find some evidence that what I say is not clever.
Like, literally, there's one today I looked at where you're quote tweeting someone, and it made no sense what you're referring to.
Was it the one about the chord progression?
Maybe. I have no idea. I literally just...
That's what you get for unmuting me.
So, and then that leads to my last thing is, give context. We know you're sports despair and you're sad. Just give us a little bit more context of what's going on. I'm vented. I'm good. Are we good?
I will attempt to improve the Twitter experience.
Miller made no.
I am now officially unmuting you.
Oh.
You've been warned. Next is a block.
I've been blocked before.
As we all have.
This is momentous. Well, congratulations on your unmuting.
So speaking of things that went wrong,
yes,
the 2016 Panther season.
Yes, it definitely went wrong.
What the hell happened?
Well, first off, the wonderful referees from the NFL allowed the Denver Broncos to maliciously assault Cam Newton on national TV and chose to do nothing about it. And I still maintain that he was suffering concussion effects through most of the first few games of the season, which came to a head versus Atlanta, where he was
ahead. I get that. That's a good joke.
So I'm so clever that my subconscious only does a joke, and I didn't actually do that on purpose. I want to say week three or four against Atlanta, he was running for a touchdown, slowed down a little bit, and got popped pretty good and ended up missing the game versus the Buccaneers. So Cam was dinged up, and then he hurt his shoulder. So when your reigning MVP quarterback is not 100%, not great. We then suffered some injuries. We lost Michael Orr, who I believe is still concussed, which forced Mr. Mike Rimmers into the position of having to play left tackle, which is not a life that you want to live.
that's one way to say it.
And then the dominoes kept falling on the offensive line, so that meant we had rookie Darrell Williams playing right tackle, or maybe in his second year. Then we lost Ryan Khalil, which forced Gino Gronkowski to play center, and he got hurt, and then Mr. Tyler Larson was then playing center. So when you're down to your third-string center, things are bad. And then we had some trouble in the defensive backfield. We had two rookies starting, James Bradbury and Daryl Worley. Bradbury has turned out to be an excellent player. We're still a little worried about Worley. And then Luke Kuechly got concussed again and left the field crying, and at which point
in dramatic fashion.
Yes, I was ready for football to end at that point.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
I'm not a crier. I was very sad, though. my wife probably was not happy to be around me for the next week or so.
You're just like the little boy kicking a can down the street.
That's pretty much it. The wife knows, you know, if the Panthers lose or something bad happens, just to leave me alone for the next 24 to 48 hours while I internally deal with things.
Give me 48 hours alone.
While you just tweet emotions without context. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
So last year we did, as we talked about, a preview podcast that was perfect in everything we said.
Yes, flawless.
Other than the actual predictions, where we went through and drafted what tailgate food we'd want, and then picked games. Got the tailgate food right. Got the games wrong.
Yeah, 16 for 16.
Yes, that was incredible. But this year, we're adding a wrinkle. Is the three of us are going to go game by game, spend very quick amount of time. I'll be kind of the timekeeper for this. You guys can discuss the games. We each will pick Panthers win or lose. Then also, we'll be introducing our good friend, Destiny, which is just me flipping a coin. And at the end of the year, we'll tell you the wins and loss that John, Clay, Miller, and Destiny all come up with. And the loser, the person who's furthest away from the record, has to. John, do you come up with a bet or anything?
No.
Let's think about it. Well, everyone, Clay, you think about it. At the end of this, we'll come up with what the punishment is of who is last.
You do owe me...
Yeah, I'm doing a dry September. I can't drink right now.
Are you kidding me?
October will do it.
Dude, you're in your dry.
It'll be more like Rocktober, you know? All right, starting off, this Sunday, September 10th, at the San Francisco Fighting 49ers. Clay.
I think Hoyer is their quarterback currently.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who cares?
This should be a win.
Yeah. So I'm going the opposite way. I think it's a loss, and I'll tell you why. Because Kyle Shanahan... is a coach. I don't know. It's tough to go on the road, man. I don't know if the Panthers are back.
Destiny says it is a win.
All right. How much are we discussing this? Can I?
You can rebut.
So Kyle Shanahan is a decent offensive coach. I will give you that. However, he has absolutely zero weapons. They have a decent defense, but they're not going to score on the Panthers' offense.
You think they're like, I don't know. I think this is one of those like weird week one games where you look back. I agree. Like, 49ers aren't going to be good this year, but I think this is kind of like a trap game. Week one, where everybody's like in their pools, like, oh, whatever, Panthers are gonna win.
What, they're gonna be looking ahead to the Bills game?
I don't know what I'm yelling about. I said the Panthers will win.
All right.
Next game, let's all go through and say our picks, and then we can discuss. Okay. You guys really cut me out there.
All right,
Buffalo Bills, and it is a home game. It's the next week. John,
I say that's a win.
Win.
I say it is a win. And Destiny says it's a win.
So it's pretty much guaranteed to be a loss.
Is it really a home game when the Bills play in Charlotte, though? I mean, there's so many Bills fans here. It's absurd.
It is a sad town.
Yeah.
Granted, the influx of Northerners has been extreme. I don't think it's quite going to get to the levels of Steelers nations invading the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
For week four to cheer on when
they'll be. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not like decrying Panthers support. I'm just like, there's just so many Bills fans here. It's really like unnecessary how many Bills fans there are in Charlotte.
You can actually reduce that statement and just say it's unnecessary how many Bills fans they are.
Next game.
Their quarterback situation is hilarious, by the way.
New Orleans Saints. Destiny says it's a win. Miller says it's a loss. Clay?
Okay, I believe this one will be a win. Though the NFC South is good this year, so I expect them basically to split with everybody. And this is the home game against the Saints, so this will be the one they win against the Saints.
I say win also for the exact same reason as Clay. I think NFC South is going to be a dogfight this year, and it's going to be split home and home.
It's going to be brutal.
All right, next up.
Miller's struggling to flip this coin. It's
Look,
outstanding.
I don't want to hit the ground and make noise. I'm here for the listener experience. If you could tell by our sound quality on all our episodes, I put a lot of time into
that.
Oh,
man. It's your number one priority.
Next game, New England Patriots. I say that's a loss. The coin of destiny says it's a win.
Oh, man.
John?
I say that's a loss.
This is a loss. It's hard to win in New England.
Yeah.
You don't go into Gillette Stadium, and you got to earn that win. Any thoughts on this? No?
It's the Patriots. They're really good this year.
It's tough. Like, you got to have really good reasons to pick the road team in Gillette Stadium, I feel like.
The Patriots are a heavy favorite to win the Super Bowl this year, so I believe that should influence our choices to a degree.
All right. How, as a Carolina sports fan forever, your life,
allegedly,
there are no other teams.
Allegedly.
How angry are you at, like, a, call it, like, 18-year-old New England sports fan who's just, like, experienced, like, nothing but an unprecedented...
Well, it depends. Are they from New England, or are they, you know...
Yeah, yeah.
They're
so
from...
I'm not talking about, like, bandwagoners. No, like, I'm saying, like, people that have... Like, a kid who, like, in their formative years only experienced success.
Well, I feel comfortable knowing that somewhere along the line, the success is going to run out. And
yeah.
They, too, will enter the levels of despair that I
sure.
do when the home team sucks. But the fact that they're a home – if you want to root for your home team, I am happy for you
no,
if they're successful.
Yeah, oh, I totally – I'm not decrying that. I'm just saying, like, to have a Celtics, Red Sox, and Patriots string of championships like they have, it's just so unfair.
Eventually, things will revert to the mean, and life is going to suck for those guys.
I hope you're right.
Speaking of sucking, going to the Detroit Lions at Detroit. Destiny says it's the Panthers' first loss. I say it's a win. John?
I say that's a loss. Tough to go on the road.
2-3, John. Clay?
That's a win.
All right. Clay and Destiny are equal right now.
What's 5 games in the season? What's Clay's record?
4-1.
We're 4-1. Do you like really like looking at the Panthers' season? Do you think they would go 4-1?
Well, I broke it down.
Yeah.
I actually spent some time on this today.
Okay. All right.
Next up, it is home against the Philadelphia Eagles. Miller says that's a win. Destiny says it's a loss.
Oh, man.
John says...
I think that's a win.
I'm Team Destiny. I believe this is a loss.
Huh.
You believe in Carson Wentz?
No, I'm sorry. I wrote this down wrong. This is a win.
5-1.
Yeah, 5-1. It's going to start getting ugly, though. Relax.
I mean, the odds of making the playoffs at 5-1 are like 80%.
The back half of the schedule is rough. They get the Eagles on a short week. At least they get to play them at home.
Yeah.
It is a Thursday night game. So I think, you know, this is a good chance to win the Eagles. And they're not amazing.
Yeah.
And Wentz is not great. As soon as their offensive line started getting dinged up last year, he has his quality dropped significantly.
I think that's going to be one of the better games of the year, Thursday night on October 12th. That's going to be, like, really good weather. It's going to be – I love those, like, weekday games at Uptown. Those are so fun.
All right, next up is at Chicago. Destiny says it's a loss. Miller says it's a win.
Destiny's off the rails.
John?
The Bears blow. It is a win.
That is a scientific statement.
Yeah.
This is going to be – it should be a win. However, there always is the chance of the John Fox revenge game.
So what are you saying?
They're going to win. Bears are trash. But the Bears are going to have a decent defense this year. However, the offense is going to be lacking. We may see local boy Mitch Trubisky by that time.
But, Mitchell, please call him Mitchell.
Does he prefer Mitchell?
He changed it to Mitchell.
That's like, not okay. That's like Michael Jordan when he was in college. He preferred to be called Mike. Mm-hmm. Jordan.
All right, here's my question for you. Playing John Fox, power rank the top 3 Panthers coaches of all time. Seifert, number one.
That's not accurate.
That's
it would have to be. It would have to be. You know, flipping a coin for Fox or Rivera.
I have a coin if you need it.
So from the bottom up, it's Seifert, Capers. You know what? Foxy had a long, successful run until things got really bad at the end. You know what? I'm going to give him the edge over Rivera. Okay. For the next season or two, we'll see how things work out.
You know what Panther story I love is how Dom Capers would like game plan in the middle of a boat in Lake Norman. Did you ever hear that before?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good place to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess if it worked for him, like, I mean, well.
He only lasted two or three seasons.
Yeah, right.
So maybe it didn't work.
That's still hilarious, an NFL coach doing that.
All right, next up is at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Destiny said it was a win. Miller watches Hard Knocks and says it's a loss.
This is going to be our home and home split.
Just such a square. John? Like betting square. I say that's a loss.
Loss. Home and home split with Tampa Bay, though.
Yeah. Agreed.
See now, Hat. Yep. Clay's at 6-2. John's at 4-4. Miller's at 5-3. And Destiny's at 5-3. Next up is home against Atlanta Falcons. Miller says it's a loss, flipping coin. Destiny says it's a loss. John
says it's a loss.
You know what? This is probably going to be a loss.
All right. Why?
Not feeling good about that.
Well, at this point, I expect them to be 6-2 and feeling pretty good about themselves. And this kind of seems like the place that we would normally lose.
What are, I mean, tough to win in the division always, but like there's always these games, like especially early in the season, like 6-2, like if it plays out that way where they're like kind of like hyped, tons of hype coming into it, probably like marquee matchup. I guess it's too early to be flexed or anything, but like it's just one of those. There's always one of those every season, right? Where it's just like disappointing.
If you remember back to the 2003 season where they started 5-0 and mm-hmm. came home to play the Titans and just got destroyed, it's going to be that type of thing.
Yeah, right. You can't be happy for that long.
The Buccaneers, they're going to be quality. Assuming Winston, you know, takes the next step and stops throwing interceptions constantly. They're going to have defense. They're going to have offensive weapons. They could be a quality football team this year.
Yeah, they'll be good.
Next up is playing Jay Cutler's Miami Dolphins at home. Destiny says it's a loss. Miller says it's a win. John?
I say win.
John says win.
Yeah, assuming Miami is still on the map, barring Hurricane Irma.
Wow.
It should be a win.
Clay predicting weather as well as the 2017 Panthers season.
I'm actually a giant hurricane geek, so I'm loving life right now.
I like that model in the spaghetti chart thing that, like, just there's one of them just went, like, straight to Charlotte.
Yes, the 8 o'clock one took the Hugo route from Charleston to Charlotte, and I told the wife to go to Costco and buy the survival kits.
Yeah.
Next up is buy.
Win.
Win.
Mm.
then we have
we are not going to win that game. Clay, I guarantee you.
Clay likes buys chances.
Next up, we're at the New York Jets. Destiny says win. Miller says win. John says
win.
Clay says win.
Ooh,
we typically don't play well off buys, but the Jets are just a giant garbage fire on top of the
train
wreck.
They're so awful. Yeah, their skill position players are hilarious.
If we lose this game, we should just all quit sports.
I'm not going there. next up is at the New Orleans Saints. Destiny says win. Miller says loss. John says
loss.
Loss.
This is like there's a returned punt in this game. There's like a red zone fumble. There's like all that crazy stuff that happens in
the
Superdome.
Pick six, but
yeah,
pick six by some defensive back that nobody's ever
heard. Yeah, exactly.
Next up is home against the Vikings. Destiny says win. Miller says loss. John says
win.
Clay says.
So they've got this back-to-back game.
No. So they got. I like it.
Got back-to-back games with the Vikings and the Packers. I'm hoping that they split these games. So I'm thinking the Vikings might be a win, and they're going to get a little revenge from the butt whooping that they took last year at the Vikings' hands.
Next up is the Green Bay Packers. Destiny says win. Miller says loss. John says,
I think that's a win.
Clay says,
this one's a loss.
He's looked at John nodding like, you idiot. Like,
I could also see, you know, them losing the Vikings game and beating the Packers. But those two games are weird.
I have the Panthers killing it after the bye, by the way.
There's the question mark.
on my sheet here, I have question marks next to Vikings and Packers. So.
All right, next up, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
And Destiny says, win. Miller says, lost. Been watching Hard Knocks. John.
win.
Home game versus the Bucs. This should be a win.
Yep.
Man. Clay and Destiny both have the Panthers at 10 and 5 now.
Man.
Last game at away versus in the Decepticon, as I like to call the new stadium.
I have a different name for it.
Sure.
Yes.
We'll just turn off the mics. We'll just turn off the mics.
Against the Atlanta Falcons. Destiny says, win. Miller says, loss.
John, I say, says, loss.
Loss.
I think wild card's in the balance going into that game, and they're not able to put it together.
All right. I'm calculating the wins, loss. So you guys, vamp, please.
Vamp. I'm just, well, no, nobody's happier to see the Georgia Dome be demolished than
right.
I've actually been in the Georgia Dome during a Panthers game, and myself and the wife, we were both spit on.
Really?
Not cool, Atlanta fans. So hopefully the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
The Decepticon.
proves to be less of a
spit. It's a more of a spit-free zone.
I was going to say less of a house of nightmares for us, but, you know, spit-free zone would be actually a nice halfway point.
All right, so we have Destiny, the queen, has the Panthers going at 11-5.
Wow, Destiny.
Oh, man. Miller has them going 7-9.
What? Really? That snuck up on me.
Wow. John,
not a Panthers fan.
John, 9-7. And Clay, 10-6.
10-6, yeah. There you go. So 10-6, division title. What do you think that gets them?
It's going to be tough. That's going to be a wild card. Either that or the NFC South just beats the mess out of each other, and they're all 10-6, yeah. 9-7.
All right. I think the punishment should be the person who's furthest away has to tweet a video of them dabbing in slow motion three times in a row. So three slow dabs. No, you can't tweet any words. It just okay. You have to just a dab video.
Wearing a suit,
a full suit, and you have to be Uptown Charlotte.
Okay, I like that.
Clay, welcome to the vet.
Yeah.
So can I make my daughter do it?
Nope.
She keeps running around the house dabbing, and I'm like, no, child, stop dabbing.
One, poor parenting on your part.
I'm trying. I really am.
Two, no, it has to be you in a suit, uptown, trade and try on, dabbing. Three times.
How about in front of our Adopt-A-Street?
Oh, Adopt-A-Street.
You have to be in front of the Adopt-A-Street.
Perfect.
Side.
All right.
What if Destiny is the farthest away?
We don't have to do anything. Oh, well, it can't be because it's – oh, yeah, it can be if I win. All right, perfect. I've run out of words. John, history time.
Yes, so let's do it. So, as I teased at the top, the history this week is about the Oriental Restaurant.
That's not the preferred nomenclature, John.
This is capital T, capital O. I'm just telling you the name of the restaurant in history. So why is this Chinese food restaurant our history for this week? Well, I will tell you. First, I'm going to give you a little background of the Oriental Restaurant.
Thank you.
It's located on 120, was located on 126 West Trade Street in Uptown, near what is now King's Kitchen and what was once Captain James Jack's Tavern. It opened in 1923 as Charlotte's first Chinese restaurant and would eventually become one of Charlotte's most popular and longest tenured restaurants. A fire sadly destroyed the original location on Trade Street, but the restaurant moved to East Independence Boulevard in 1967 before closing for good in the 80s. Now, who cares, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm not here to talk about this restaurant.
Wait, it closed in 1980? Clay, have you ever eaten there?
No, I was born in 80, so it's unlikely that I was...
Not a Charlotte.
I think the structure on Independence may still have been there.
Where is it?
Could have seen. It was on Independence. I don't know exactly where. But
long road, John.
Yeah, that's a good point. So when it was open in Uptown, rumors swirled that there were shady happenings going on in the back rooms of the Oriental, and it all came into light on September 28th, 1960. Federal agents raided the Oriental at 1:45 p.m., just after the lunch rush, and told diners to finish their meals.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, it was, right?
That was really pleasant.
It was a different time, man. The wait staff was taken upstairs for questioning and subsequently released. The agents had been recording phone calls from the Oriental to admitted gamblers and bookmakers throughout the country since the beginning of the year, and the raid was to get some hard evidence in the case they were building. The agents' suspicions were confirmed, and they seized weekly football and baseball schedules, betting odds, and envelopes, coin envelopes, and the smoking gun of a stash of notebooks with odds, bets placed, and results. They're running a shady book out of the back of this Chinese restaurant in Uptown.
That seems appropriate.
Yeah.
I wonder if Paul Manafort's name was in it.
Possibly. Ultimately, four owners were arrested on the day, during the raid. Clearly, the restaurant still survived the scandal. It didn't move out of its Uptown location until 7 years later. And one of the owners ultimately owned another restaurant and a laundromat in Plaza Midwood, in the building where the restaurant Dish now sits in Plaza Midwood, with rumors of another backroom gambling operation.
A laundromat. I wonder if they ever laundered any money there.
I don't know. We'll see. So there you go. So the reason this is relevant for our Panthers preview is because if there's anybody that knows about a shady backroom Chinese restaurant where I can get down on some NFL action this year, please let me know. Because that story is so cool.
The email address is thecharlottepodcast.
Yeah, that's right.
At gmail.com.
That's right. Where?
At the trolley walk.
Yes. Yeah. Please tell me how I can bet illegally in the back of a Chinese restaurant, because that is so cool and like the least Charlotte story ever.
If you're going to bet anywhere, the back of a Chinese restaurant is probably the best place to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how long the ring was running back there before the feds got wise to it.
They got wise to it.
Speaking of the feds, let's get to supportive words.
You say, 23 Skidoo, fella.
No, stop. We're going off the rails. Supportive words.
All right. So supportive guy was able to provide us with some Panthers-themed supportive words. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Happy Tuesday, dear listeners. I hope your Labor Day was spent the same way mine was, with family and friends, singing union songs neath the old oak tree. September is here, and with it, regular season football. Our beloved Panthers return on Sunday to fill our hearts with joy and our living rooms with people. People who also like the Panthers, and wear the color patterns of the team as a show of support. Fans are excited, and with good cause. Cam Newton is in his prime. Christian McCaffrey is an exciting new addition to the offense. The defense should be solid, and fan-favorite prodigal son Marty Herney has returned to assemble the team like some sort of supercharged Nick Fury. If it hasn't been named yet, I think we should call Marty's cheering section at Bank of America Stadium Herney's Hernias. A subtle nod to all the heavy lifting our GM is doing behind the scenes. And say, maybe they could even cosplay as different kinds of hernias. Just spitballing. So here's to a 19-0 Panther season and the first Lombardi Trophy of many. Week one is, after all, about optimism. Oh, I almost forgot. Remember, if you must play fantasy football, it's important to remember that it is a personal thing and is never to be discussed with anyone. If someone says, I don't play fantasy football anymore, I got tired of literally everything about it, that is certainly not a reason to reply with, oh, interesting, here's my roster and some moves I'm thinking about. That's what we call fantasy blasting, and it's a sin. Have a great week. Go Cats. Until next time. Woo!
Never flair.
No.
I'm glad he's doing better, though.
Thanks. Thanks for your kind words, Clay.
I just did it. I'm going to do it every week. I'm just tweeting supportive guy for fantasy advice.
Oh, yeah? What'd you ask him?
Should I start Carr or Eli?
Carr.
That's a terrible question.
Yeah. They're both on the bench.
I wonder what he says.
All right. See you later.